This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:14 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. So yesterday, big news, Russian troops moved into two separatist Ukrainian regions, sparking condemnation amidst ongoing fears of war. So we're just going to get into it.
Yes, so Russian President Vladimir Putin basically ordered troops into those two regions in Ukraine, the Donetsk and the Lugansk republics, which together form a larger area called Donbas, and under the ostensible reason of peacekeeping operations. Now, these regions have been held by Russian-backed separatists since 2014, and in January, Russia had moved military equipment such as tanks and infantry fighting vehicles, as well as rocket launchers, along with medical materials near Ukraine. According to U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken, Russian media has begun spreading false claims that paints Kiev as the aggressor to induce public outrage, as well as to essentially manufacture a pretext for further attacks. So lots of things happening, none of which seem to bode very well, to be honest.
Yeah, and this is, as we mentioned earlier, right, a situation that has been ongoing. It's one that people have been looking out for, monitoring for a while because of worries over conflict, essentially. And if we look at the response that has come of this, because it's not necessarily being dubbed an outright invasion, right? We have seen an anonymous senior administration official, a senior Biden administration official, saying that Putin's decision to deploy troops was not considered an invasion because Russian forces have already been present in the region for the past 8 years. Blinken has said that the US and its allies will inflict punishment on Russia should they invade Ukraine. However, so far, the US and its various allies have sanctioned the two breakaway regions, and that and the US President Joe Biden has also said that rather than initiate a full-blown war, Russia intends to test the resolve of the US and NATO. So at least as far as broadly the US, who have, I think, been seen to be representing the West, although that may not necessarily be the case. Anyway, that's what they've had to say.
Meanwhile, an emergency UN Security Council meeting was held. This was requested by Ukrainian Foreign Minister Dmytro Kuleba. And members of the council, of course, include France, Britain and China. And they've sent a unified message asking Russia to de-escalate the situation. But Russian Ambassador Vasily Nebenzia has dismissed any criticism and justified Russia's actions thus far as extending help to Russian-speaking inhabitants in the Donbas region. And he claims that these people are victims of the 8-year conflict that has been ongoing with Ukraine.
So basically, we'd like to hear from you. I mean, do you have thoughts on this? Are you following the story? Are you worried about this? You can call us, WhatsApp us, tweet us. And in the meantime, we are joined by Professor Ruben Azizian from the Centre for Defence and Security Studies at the Massey University, New Zealand. Prof, thanks for joining us. So firstly, help us understand how we got to this point. How have the tensions between Russia and Ukraine been ramping up?
Well, It may be a shock to many what's happening now with Russia recognizing the independence of eastern Ukraine, two regions. But for those of us who have been following and watching, comparing Russian foreign policies, this was the inevitable outcome. If you read Putin's strategy when he started demanding that Ukraine never be allowed to NATO, he obviously knew that NATO is never going to openly declare that Ukraine is not going to be a member of NATO one day, although he also knows that Ukraine cannot be admitted to NATO in near future because some NATO members are against that. So all of that was done as a pressure point on Ukraine and the West, try to undermine Ukrainian stability, political system. But there was talk about invasion, which I didn't think was going to happen, and it hasn't happened so far. And I don't think Russia is going to invade Ukraine per se. But The price for Putin's price for the West not agreeing to his demands or Ukraine not agreeing to his demands was always going to be what he did to Georgia in 2008. After Georgians disagreed with Russia, he just declared independence or accepted the independence of two breakaway regions. So that's what he's doing now. So it's a repeat of the Georgian scenario of 2018. So there's nothing unexpected here.
What is the significance of Russia deploying troops to these two breakaway regions? What does it signal?
Well, what it means basically is that the hybrid war that Russia was waging in these eastern Ukrainian provinces of Luhansk and Donetsk has become an open support and militarization and Russian military involvement to so-called for the support of this region. So what the Russians are saying, we send them as peacekeepers because Ukrainian government is escalating tensions. They are not agreeing to talk to the separatists. And so we need to protect the pro-Russian and Russian-speaking population because Ukrainian invasion, that sounds like absurdity, but Ukraine invading its own territory to retake it is inevitable. And therefore, we are not going to let that happen. So we are sending our peacekeepers there. So what it does is there is no threat, I think, of Ukraine trying to retake the region militarily. They know they can't do that because Russia is behind the separatists. So it will just lead to bloodshed and then possible invasion of Russia into Ukraine proper. So Ukrainians leadership is, I think, you know, reasonable enough and rational enough to understand that. So what Russia has done is basically escalated even further, sent its own troops there, and now it says we are ready to negotiate. And of course, you know, negotiations, the one who has a stronger position has the upper hand. So right now, Putin's hand has gotten stronger because in that sense that he's now in full control of eastern Ukraine and can talk from that position of force and strength with the Ukrainian government and the West.
So if we look at what Russia is saying, right, they've called the deployed troops peacekeeping troops. What does this actually mean? What mandate do they have?
They have no mandates. There's no international recognition of this is just Putin likes to, you know, create his own terms and create his own visions of the international environment. So what else do you call them? If you call them, we are sending the military people openly because before that we were sending them in a clandestine way, but now we're fed up with Ukraine. And so we'll just do what we do openly, what we did covertly. So that's not a very good public position. So that's why they called them peacekeepers. Now, how do they justify in front of their own public? I mean, if you watch Russian media, state controlled, it's all about Russia responding to Ukraine's aggression, that Ukraine is trying to retake the region by force. So Russia is, what Russia is doing is sending peacekeepers. So Russia wants peace. But this is the most, probably most ridiculous way to define these troops.
Now, various countries have condemned Russia's move. So far, there hasn't been any military action taken. What can you tell us about the international reaction to all of this?
I think that's also, unfortunately, an expected response. If Ukraine was a member of NATO, NATO would had to support militarily. And that's why, and that one of the reasons Ukraine is not a member of NATO, because some countries in NATO don't want to start to get into a war with Russia. So no one is going to militarily support Ukraine. What the West will do will equip Ukraine with advanced weaponry or training, but no one is going to fight for Ukraine. So the question is, will Ukrainian government decide to fight back and try to force the Russian troops out of the breakaway regions? Now, if that happens, that is will be a very dangerous escalation. I think Ukraine has a legitimate right to retaliate, but it has very little chance of doing that. And so I don't think there's a military response. The West is not going to fight. Ukraine is too weak to fight.
So with the sanctions then, how will they affect Russia? Do you think that they'll be effective?
Russia has been living under sanctions for years now, since 2008 and then 2014. It has changed very little in Russia. If anything, Putin has become even more aggressive. So these kind of sanctions don't do much. There's been talk about never seen sanctions. That's what President Biden has declared. We have to see whether that they do happen or not, because there could be some very significant sanctions, such as sanctions against Putin's family or his oligarch, something that would possibly inject a kind of more tension in the ruling circle of Russia. Because if you sanction rich oligarchs in Russia, they may turn against Putin. But doing that, or imposing some major banking sanctions and pushing Russia out of the kind of international financial system. The downside of that is, again, that Russia is a large country with resources. Their oil and gas prices are going up, interestingly, as we are watching the crisis and everyone is condemning Russia. Russia's revenues are growing because oil and gas prices are going up. So, and what it will do is basically make Russia completely push out of the system. Then you can't even negotiate or talk to them about anything. So Western nations have a major dilemma how to punish without making things even more problematic in the future. Because, I mean, you can live without some, countries like maybe, no offense, but like North Korea or Venezuela are very minor players in international system, but you cannot push Russia out of the international system.
Is there a possibility for de-escalation at this point? What would bring the various stakeholders back to the table to negotiate?
Well, I'm afraid we have passed that option. I may be wrong, but after recognizing the two breakaway regions, Putin is not going to undo his recognition. So he may pull troops out, but that won't change much because it's still controlled by Russians, special forces and others. So de-escalate means we now understand that potentially this is the end, potentially, of that confrontation, because I don't think Russia will want more land in Ukraine. All this talk about this is on the beginning, a pretext, and Russia will continue and invade entire Ukraine. That is not going to happen unless Ukraine decides to fight back. And if Ukraine decides to fight back, then this will lead to more escalation. So if Ukraine doesn't fight back, if the West imposes some sanctions, which will work partially, and Russia has basically ended negotiations, to me, de-escalation will eventually happen. But no one will be happy Ukraine not happy lost breakaway regions. The West not happy they couldn't deter Russia. And even Russia and Putin not very happy, completely happy, because he was hoping to use East European breakaway regions to pressure Ukraine into concessions. By openly taking over Eastern Ukraine, he has lost that leverage. So there is very little now he can do with Ukraine. But he lost Ukraine for many years and decades.
Professor, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That was Professor Ruben Azizian from the Center for Defense and Security Studies at Massey University, New Zealand, weighing in on the situation between Russia and Ukraine. If you have thoughts, please call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.